Hello, my name is Jessica, and welcome to Salvation Mountain. We're so glad you could visit. Be sure you drink plenty of water as the desert heat can sneak up on you without notice. This audio tour includes actual recordings of the creator, Leonard Knight. We hope you enjoy it. In order to get the most out of this audio tour, please take a copy of our brochure and open to the map located on the inside. You should find yourself standing at the visitor center marked VC to start the tour. And please stop back here on your way out for a free gift. Leonard wanted everyone who visited to have one. Leonard asks that you take as many pictures as you like. His goal was to have everyone in the world see his mountain message, God is love. That can only happen if each of you share pictures of the mountain with your family and friends. Feel free to pause this audio tour and spend as much time as you wish at any location. So, without further ado, let me introduce Mr. Leonard Knight.
Hello, my name is Leonard Knight, and I made this mountain 22 years here, and I'd love to give you a tour of it.
Thank you, Leonard. Before we get started, let's hear about Leonard's humble beginnings from Dan, who was a close personal friend of Leonard for many years.
Leonard Knight was born on November 1st, 1931, about 8 miles from Burlington, Vermont. He was the fourth child in his family, with two more to come after him.
We lived on a hill, and we'd coast down in a sled right into the school.
Yeah.
There's 24 kids there, a little school. Then I went to Shelburne School, which was 60 kids in it. And it was just plain too big of a school. Kids would pick on me, and I'd run and hide and skip school, and it just didn't work.
Leonard dropped out of school in the 10th grade. In 1951, Leonard was drafted into the Army. He was transferred to Fort Knox, where he trained as a mechanic over the next couple of months before being deployed to Korea for the remainder of the war.
It was a funny situation, but they put me in as motor sergeant in, after 3 or 4 months there. And the tanks would come in, and they really had to get it ready because they were in that last big push. And it'd be cold outside, and they'd want fill up with gas, and I'd say, well, go inside and get warm, let me do it. Oh, Sarge, you don't have to do that. But I had that easy-going attitude.
After the war, Leonard returned home to Vermont, where he worked as a mechanic at a local car dealership. In 1967, Leonard made a trip to San Diego that changed everything.
Thank you, Dan. Now, let's make our way to the west to number one while Leonard tells us what happened in San Diego. Leonard?
Okay, this is a very important start. In 1967, I was running away from my sister because she talked about God and Jesus, and I never loved God at that time. And all of a sudden, one day, I started saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come into my heart. Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come into my heart. And I said that about 8 times by myself, and tears were coming to my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I figured I'm all alone with God and Jesus. I'm going to say it maybe for a half hour. And my God, I started crying like a baby. Jesus Christ, please come into my heart. And I really got, God had that arranged that way. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost instantly. And in the Bible, in Acts 2:38, the Bible says, repent to Jesus Christ and get saved. And I wanted the whole world to know how easy it is to get saved. And that's the start of Salvation Mountain. No, before that, I was like Saul persecuting the church. Mm-hmm. And I became Paul. And all of a sudden, I started to love God and Jesus Christ. And I never really went to a church. I went directly to Jesus Christ and told mm-hmm. him I'm sorry. And I want the whole world to know that. If we can just have a million people looking up and saying, Jesus, I love you and I'm sorry, come into my heart. They get, oh, it's a beautiful part. In 1971, mm-hmm. I saw a hot air balloon fly over Burlington, Vermont, and it said something on it that wasn't God is love. And I looked up at God over 32 years ago, and I says, God Almighty, I want a hot air balloon that says, Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come into my heart. And after nagging God every day for 32 years, I've got Salvation Mountain up there, and I've got God is love on it, and then I've got the sinner's prayer and the big heart. Sure. It was a tremendous adventure. Mm-hmm. For 10 years, I prayed every day for a hot air balloon, and nobody would help me. The churches wouldn't help me because I have to join them. And I love all the churches. I love everybody that don't go to church. I want to put love down to this world and to everybody. Mm-hmm. And God orders me to love everybody and everything. And I broke down in Nebraska in 1980, and a friend told me that all I talked about was a hot air balloon, so I'll help you build one. And I remember hugging him and saying, nobody would help me for 10 years. Oh, thank you, thank you. He says, what can I do? And I says, I don't know. I stayed there 4 years, and with that man's help and a lot of beautiful people in Nebraska, I sold a hot air balloon together almost every day for 4 years. And it got 10 stories high, 200 wow. feet high. And they told me I was making it too big. And they were right. It's too big. And to make a long story short, it rotted out in Nylon, California, in Slab City. And I didn't have any balloon, and it never got up, and it didn't work too good. So I told God, I've been working for you 14 years, and I got a rotted out balloon. So I'll stay here in Slab City 1 week and make a little 8-foot one.
Wow. What an amazing story, Leonard. Okay, our first stop is to see that 8-foot monument he just mentioned. Take a look at the picture on the plaque. He created the first monument with concrete and molded it to look like a hot air balloon. The pipework and tanks housing the letters, J-E-S-U-S, actually simulate how he stitched his balloon into a tube and shape configuration at the top, including the cross. He placed it out by the road for a short time, but it kept falling over, so he decided to drag it back and scrap it. You can see why he felt it was too small after seeing the mountain now. The concrete balloon shape alongside is all we have left of the first monument. Notice the fingertip writing he did while the concrete was wet. Let's move on to number 2. Leonard arrived here on this spot in 1986 in this 1940s Chevy dump truck with a trailer and hot air balloon in tow. He found the truck out in a farmer's field in Nebraska in 1983. He fixed it up and added his house onto the bed of the truck with room for cargo on the back deck. He always loved being able to travel and live in his trucks. He lived in this particular truck from 1983 to 1995. Notice how the art on the truck is so much like his work on the balloon and the mountain? His first work on the balloon carries through each new artistic venture. Also notice the large winch he installed on the front bumper. He would attach the base of the balloon to the cable so it wouldn't fly away. He never did build a basket for the balloon, he just wanted to inflate it so everybody could see it. Take your time to enjoy and photograph the details, then head to the third stop, Leonard's other house. As we move on to station number 3, I want to point out Leonard's house that he lived in from 1998 until he left the site in 2011.
Here's where I live. It was a 1939 white fire truck, 16 foot long. I got an 8-foot inside where if it rains real hard, I can get inside and it's comfortable. And I don't have time to clean it and make it neat. I'm too busy on the mountain. I've got some nice campers over there, but I like my truck better. And as long as I'm happier here.
In 1995, the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore, Maryland, asked Leonard if they could borrow his Chevy dump truck for a roadshow exhibit, so his home left the site for about a year. During that time, he decided to build a second home on the white fire truck. In the end, he liked it better than the first one, so he was living in this truck until he left the site in 2011. The Yamaha scooter was his main transportation for a while. At first, he rode a bicycle, which was later stolen and never recovered. A friend donated this scooter when they heard the story about the theft. Much like every vehicle and object on the site, you'll notice that Leonard enjoyed painting everything. Let's move on to number 4, the Noah's Ark exhibit. As we make our way to Noah's Ark, we'd like you to notice the parade tractor to the right. Leonard created this as a parade float to haul in the local Tomato Festival parade each year. He won several trophies over the years for his truck and tractor. A friend dented the tractor, and he never did get it to run. As we arrive at number 4, we find what Leonard called Noah's Ark. A friend donated the boat. and Leonard thought it would be a nice idea to have children paint their version of Noah's Ark on it. And now it is finally a revolving display. Groups can come and paint their own Noah's Ark theme. That art will stay for a brief time and then be painted over by the next group. It offers a wonderful experience for the kids to be exposed to art, learn the story of Noah's Ark, and be inspired by Leonard. And they'll all bring their family and friends back one day. Back behind the Ark is our mud station. To this day, we continue to mix the mud the way Leonard did to do maintenance and repairs.
The whole mountain gives me the clay, so the adobe is here, and people donating paint in the 5-gallon buckets lately. And I'm really excited about the mountain going so good. We have to love everybody. That's my theme. That's what I really want to put out to the world, that God loves everybody he ever made. And let's keep it that way. Keep it simple, Leonard.
How amazing Leonard landed here and found he had all the free clay he needed right in front of him. We'll talk more about the clay when we get to the museum. So now, let's head to number 5. On the way, we'll pass two of Leonard's art cars, a Ford Escort and Toyota Corolla. Leonard's first and consistent work was creating art on every vehicle he owned. It all started one day when he discovered window putty. Right, Leonard?
Many, many years ago, I dribbled some window putty on a window, and luckily I painted it, and I said, man, that looks like a little flower. So then I started making window putty all over the place. Now I'm window putty crazy, and I think it's the best thing in the whole world. That four-wheel drive Jeep, when I got it 3 years ago, I had 50 tubes of window putty, and I was excited. And within 6 days, they had the whole thing painted. Putting window putty on is the easiest thing in the world. You squirt that gun and you just... Broop, broop. Any artist in the whole world should look into window putty because, wow, look what it's done.
Feel free to pause here and enjoy the art cars. When you're ready, we'll head to number 5. Here, we'd like to show you the trailer Leonard built to inflate his balloon. The balloon inflation furnace was built in 1983. I'm going to let Dan and Leonard tell you the whole balloon story and about this trailer.
In 1971, a hot air balloon passed over Burlington, Vermont, and it attracted a lot of attention. As Leonard stared up at the balloon, he overheard a small child asking her mother what the balloon said, and he heard the mother reply with the name of a popular beer. It was at this moment that Leonard knew what he could do for Christ.
And I looked up, probably almost 35 years ago, and I said, Jesus Christ, I want a hot air balloon that says God Almighty loves them and the sinner's prayer is on it. 35 years ago, and I've nagged God for 10 years. I prayed almost daily, Jesus, I just got to get a hot air balloon. A year go by, churches wouldn't help me, nobody would help. 1974, God, I just got to get a hot air balloon for Jesus Christ. 1976, 1977, 10 years I prayed like that. I gave up. I remember telling God, I'm not going to nag you no more. I've been 10 years praying for a hot air balloon, and you don't want one, and Jesus Christ don't want one, and I don't want one. God Almighty, I'm not bothering you anymore. And man, I woke up that night, and Jesus Christ, I quit. There's a million people out there can know Jesus, and no one will know Jesus because I quit. Jesus Christ, I'm a quitter. Please, just forgive me. Jesus, God, I want a hot air balloon now more than ever. And finally in Nebraska in 1980, I was going back to Vermont, and I broke down in Nebraska. And I only had to really stay there a day or two. My starter burned up, and the junkyard man there gave me a good deal on a starter. And Coppy Jones was his name, from Gibbon, Nebraska. And he says, I don't know, Leonard. All you talk about is a hot air balloon, so I'll help you build one. And I kind of remember hugging him and, oh, thanks. And he says, what can I do? And I says, I don't know.
Mr. Jones contacted the Raven Balloon Industry in South Dakota and arranged for Leonard to buy 10-foot scraps of balloon material for just $5 a bag. Coppy Jones and his friends would prove to be Leonard's greatest supporters for the next 3 years while Leonard sewed the balloon.
His wife gave me a little sewing machine. And sometimes in that 3 years of doing that, it was below zero, and Coppy Jones gave me a great big heat lamp. And the heat lamp would thaw out the material in my hands and keep me warm, and I would sew.
And one time they said something like, the guy's going to kill himself out there. 2 o'clock in the morning, soaring the balloon in a windstorm. And it got approximately 200 feet high, 100 foot wide. They told me it was too big. And I'll agree with them. God, it was too big. 25 years ago, more or less, they gave me an arc welder in a junkyard. And I made this apparatus to put the hot air balloon up. And there's where I put the balloon. And I had a 5 foot firebox here, and I'd have a red hot in there. And I had a big fan here. This fan had a 4 horsepower motor on it, and it would put the air into the balloon. And I had 3 weed burners on it, trying to put a balloon up 200 foot high and 100 foot wide, and it never did go out. But I tried over and over and over again. And I look back on that, and boy, there was a lot of work in that. You pull out a 200 foot balloon at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you work until 9 just to get it ready. And the wind comes up at 10:30 and it blows it down. Well, you do that 7 days a week for about 3 months. And man, the mess never did get up.
Leonard's final attempt to launch the balloon was in 1982 in a little place called Nyland, California. It was here that the wear and tear of constant exposure to the elements achieved their final victory. The balloon was rotten.
And it just plain rotted out on me. It got to the place where it's not going to work. And that's when I told God I'm going to stay here 1 week and make a little 8-foot one.
It's placed at the base of the hot air balloon replica to show how he would set up for filling the balloon. As we head to number 6, the enormous domed sculpture to your right is the clay replica of Leonard's hot air balloon.
I started making a museum in here about 8 or 10 years ago also. And I made that tree here with a wheelbarrow because I found old car tires out in the desert. And I found the limbs out in the desert, and it's a handmade car tire tree. And when the adobe is wet, I take a 1/2 gallon of adobe and throw it, and I hit it with my fist, and I got a flower. And I've been spending a couple years off and on just putting flowers all over the place. Here I'd like to show you a funny looking tree that I'm making with a come along and branches. And if I get 100 more branches around, I'm going to put the bales of hay up here and try to dome this whole thing over as a museum. Probably another 3,000 gallons, 3,000 bales of hay. And the sticks are still out in the desert. And I'd like to show you some of the best adobe in the whole world as far as I'm concerned. The whole mountain gives me the clay. And if you were to pick this up, it weighs as much as a stone almost. It's really solid. And the whole mountain gives me this beautiful adobe. And I got a tractor with some in it here. And this is what it's like when you mix it for 3 or 4 days and let it soak, and you put a lot of straw with it, and then it'll turn back into a clay. So the whole mountain is here, and the people are donating paint, and people seem to be loving me a lot. So I'm excited about people really liking God is Love Mountain a lot.
It's laying on the ground and only half inflated. Unfortunately, that's about how full it got most of the time he tried. Leonard enjoyed pointing out his plaque from 2001 when the Folk Art Society of America designated Salvation Mountain as a National Folk Art Site, and that Senator Barbara Boxer said that Salvation Mountain was a true national treasure in 2002. Leonard planned to complete the dome to enclose the entire museum by building the much larger tree in the middle. It is the primary structure intended to hold the dome over. Leonard anticipated it would take another 3,000 bales of hay. Architects and engineers have been fascinated by how Leonard figured this out on his own. All the work here is decorated with trees, vines, bluebirds, waterfalls, Bible scriptures, and other symbols. All things that made Leonard happy, including flowers which he made by taking a 1/2 gallon of mud and flopping it into a mound, molding it round, and then pushing his fist into the center to make it look like a flower. Now let's turn our attention to the left for number 7. This is the hogan.
The farmers gave me 80 bales of hay, and I made a little hogan to live in, a little igloo, and it got on the England Discovery Channel, and I'd love to show you the inside of it. You can look in there if you want to. All made out of broken glass and window putty. And I decorated it. And a lot of people take pictures of it. And it was a lot of fun to make. I'd like to have you take some pictures of it.
Sadly, the relentless desert climate has taken its toll on both the museum and Hogan. We hope to repair and get them back open soon. Okay, let's make our way to number 8.
And I'll do the best I can to give you a tour of it. As we walk up here, you can see the two waterfalls in the blue, and the ocean in the blue, and the boat in the waves. I estimate 100,000 gallons of paint in 22 years. And as we walk up here, I'd like to show you the waterfalls and the God is love on it, okay? And I'd love to show you the yellow brick road. Maybe we'll walk up there real quick, okay? This is the very start of the yellow brick road because of the Wizard of Oz. You can see the waterfalls. It looks like an ocean, sort of. And there's a boat in the waves.
Leonard had the streets of gold in heaven in mind for these steps, but visitors began to refer to it as the yellow brick road, and Leonard kind of liked it, so it stuck. As we ascend the steps, please only go one way. We'll come down on the north side walkway. Please be sure to watch your step, stay away from the edges, and only walk on the yellow path. Feel free to enjoy some selfies and photo ops on the way, but please use caution and travel at your own risk. I'll meet you at the top, but during your journey up, Leonard and Dan would like to share the story of the first mountain.
And I'd go to the dump and pick up cement, old cement in the dump. Well, I was only going to stay a week anyway, and I don't make excuses for doing it wrong, but I'd mix it 20 to 1 just to make it bigger. I mean, I cared less about constructing nothing. And I kind of remember a man blowing his horn at me after maybe 4 days. Hey, you there. And I figured, well, what do you want? I know where there's some old cement to dump. I'll get it for you if you want it. Yeah, I want it. Go get it. And that made me stay a couple of weeks. So I stayed. And then after, I think it was about eight months, I never even had a wheelbarrow. I had just a rubber bucket. I'd put the adobe in and carry it with the cement. I went on and on, and after about 4 or 5 months, God finally got me enthused about this.
Leonard continued work on the monument, adding cement, sand, old scraps of metal, and 2x4s to the pile until it was tall enough to be recognized by the locals as a mountain. He then painted over the entire thing with scripture verses and a message of love. All went well until 1989, when something unusual happened after a small rainstorm.
10 or 15 days later, the sun was out like this, and I was painting a flower on that, and all of a sudden I saw a crack. And I said, well, I can fix that with a wheelbarrow full of adobe, and then it looked like that in 20 seconds. The whole thing collapsed. And I looked up, and people thought I'd get discouraged by then. But I looked up, and I said, God Almighty, people could have got killed with that. Then I looked up. That's when I said, God Almighty, you build it. You're going to have to do it, God. Leonard has 14 years, and it rotted out bloom, 4 years in a mountain, and it's rotted down. God, you do it. And ever since then, I've been trying to get rid of Leonard. I've got to get rid of Leonard because he's in the way. Totally. And I wanted to have that attitude ever since. God, you make sure not much Leonard gets in there because it's not going to work. And here it is.
And we are at the top. I'm glad you made it. This was a favorite stop for Leonard. We want you to see the inside of the museum from high above to really enjoy and appreciate the entire work. You can also look down on the Sea of Galilee below and appreciate its beauty. He also loved the views in every direction. To the north and east, you can see Slab City, an off-grid community. The Chocolate Mountains on the other side of the bombing range. The Salton Sea is to the west with a beautiful view of the Anza-Borrego mountain ranges. And finally, Mexico and Mount Signal to the south. Each having incredible history and are a tribute to those who traveled this torturous desert throughout the early days of our history. Please take as many photos as you wish. Then when you are ready, please follow the exit signs to the north walkway to the bottom. We have just a couple more stops. Okay, we've descended the mountain and come to what we call God's Holy Fire Alcove. That is how Leonard described the experience he had when God touched his heart. He wrote a short book about it, and it is part of his very first work done on this northern ledge.
I'd like to show you the Lord's Prayer that I made in Adobe, and I had a lot of fun making it. And I'd like to have the camera short, up close, kind of. There's the Lord's Prayer, and I made it out of Adobe, and a lot of people like that. And I got John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. I put that up here in Adobe, too. And up here in the waterfalls, I've got to work on it more, but I got 9 fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance.
Along with that, please enjoy the tree of the fruits of the Spirit and so much more amazing art features within God's holy fire. And now, on to our last stop. Let's make our way to the blue and white flat surface in front of the mountain. You are now standing in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. This is a great selfie location and view of the heart of his work, the Sinner's Prayer. Leonard wanted you to see and share this the most. As you look up at the mountain's face, Leonard wanted you to share in the greatest experience he'd ever had.
In 1967, I was visiting my sister. She lived in California. And for years, I'd go back and forth. I'd pick apples in Vermont to make enough money so I could just skip out to California. My sister lived in Lemon Grove, California. I remember the spot. It's a nice house. I went to visit her, and she made me go to church. And I did not like the church whatsoever. I mean, I didn't like God at that time, or Jesus Christ any, and I wasn't doing nothing that God could have been pleased with. And she made me go to church, and I ran away from her in the morning. I can't go to church. And outside of her house, about 15 or 20 steps, I could almost pinpoint the spot. I got in my truck, in a little car I had, by myself, there's nobody around. I started saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come into my heart. Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come into my heart. I said that about 8 times. After saying it 8 or 10 times, Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come into my heart. I was really getting it down in there. And I told God, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to say it for 20 minutes or a half hour. And by the time I got done saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come in. I was crying like a baby. I ran back into my sister's house, and I said, nobody ever told me about Jesus before. Irene, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? And she says, I've been praying for you for 8 years, and you just won't listen.
But Leonard did listen, and it changed his life. He was given a purpose, a sense of direction, and a vision that was to be expanded 4 years later.
Any last words for our guest, Leonard?
Bless y'all. I really love y'all a lot.
Our journey together has come to an end, but your time here doesn't have to. We hope this audio tour has deepened your experience and given you a glimpse into the heart and spirit of Leonard Knight and Salvation Mountain, a place built from love, faith, and the simple beauty of giving. This tour was created by our volunteer team with care and gratitude, so that each visitor can feel the magic of this sacred space. If you'd like to help us preserve Leonard's vision for generations to come, you can make a donation right here at the Visitor Center, or by visiting salvationmountain.org. You'll also find QR codes nearby for your convenience. Now, take a little time to wander. Let the colors, the sunlight, and the silence speak to you. Take pictures, revisit your favorite spots, and before you go, stop by the Visitor Center to say hello. We'd love to hear your story, help you capture a photo, and offer a small gift to thank you for being part of our family. Salvation Mountain is love made visible. And now, that love goes with you. Thank you, and God bless.